La Tempesta's X-ray. Glyze, no, Soulage, perhaps, working his great house brush in a war shadow, consolidating partially the split head of its taper. Panels a grey canvas of the twilight negative and spreads, like the crushed particles of some used match heads rubbed on cartridge paper, out in broad charcoaly flanks, a ragged honeycomb of fretwork, light charred, floored with excrements of lunar interstices. Crumbled night whale jointed into vertebrae of chiaroscuro. It is a dull, peppery view, a montage at once in colonnades of basalt and husky-cubed industrial contraptions, latent, half-illumined in refrigerated alcoves against Jacobean panelling. For here, in this monochromatic chancel of bitones, are no complicated Grinling Gibbonses of trumpet work and oak-leaf scrolls and acanthus, but rather, yes, there is an austere rectilinearity of conduits leading one into another nowhere, like the sewer blueprint for a city of mines on the high rise that have long been stopped up and are still too hygienic to have made use of the system, leaving it clean also. Here then, through our round, free-flying dream of chromatismo, it is the uprights and the laterals invading, a labour force of ghost-like Neolithic masons drafted into the Magdalenian cave sanctuaries, where the beasts are a-tumble through their sacred positions. Weightless oxen superimposed or gestating in the translucent wombs of ancient horses float here. Stag, deer, mastodon, rhinoceros and ibex browse adrift and shudder and gallop in the fold-bellied gravity of tertiary limestone passages. And then just once it appears like a visionary warning from the finger of some ancient child cartoonist. That singular, lank shaman figure, a scrawny rectangle, rigid in trance, bird mask and claw-like erection, swooned lame against the grounded girth energy of a bison, who's transected by the other straight thing, and who thus relieves himself of the bag of his entrails. The machine is in action all right, man, recognizing innerly the perspective of his outward measurement, his vertebral force, the weakness and necessity of perpendiculars, the ambiguity of a self-made or self-styling right angle. It was coming, and it has triumphed, technic uniformity in all its dangers and loveliness, flowering in ziggurat and pyramid societies. But then wasn't it the old pharaonic kingdom which finally entrenched the vigour of this rectilinear conceit within our cosmos? Think of the sky's jed supports assembling, the straight-backed ibis scribe, the resurrection of Osiris, primeval stems of lotus pushing between underworld and sunlight, rearing serpents. I dream of warm brown silhouettes of hunters upright in the papyrus marshes, raising a multitude of slanting waterfowl into the pruinescence of that nilotic dawnburst. Yes, and I've witnessed something of this process evolution from the sea ice. One sullen mid-February afternoon in the Arctic, the village of Tikirak, in a stubble of 19th century whalebone rising over the northernmost pressure ridges of the 68th parallel, like the lower mandible of a Pleistocene fish jaw meeting the half-moon's edge as the liquefied brass of the sun's blood fringe descended. The snow swept a rough cerement over the domed old uninhabited igloo dunes, where everything has had a curve in it at some point, shamans rolling up the driftwood floor planks and letting them spring back again and so on. And then suddenly blazing upright as though to cast its spectre over the placid rink of perfectly level Sikulerk, young thin ice, stretched out grey as the sky's anaesthetic cataract, and barnacled with sugar snow on which bare tracks visible had slurred their seaward passage to some breathing holes. There stood shining and arranged the city of the future, inland Tikirak, or Tikirachak, new Tikirak, in white-blue razzle mirage substance, not trembling as in northern summer heat haze, but frozen on the air like shark skin tinted freezy sheena wrapping. Story upon story of prefabricated office space and municipal housing, arrayed in a cross-hatching of crane necks and derricks, the time-vandalized multiple elongation of dwellings, a vague run-in-the-air metacity on the latitude of the Standard Oil Building in Chicago, unusable high-wind sun balconies cluttered with transport-damaged condominium accessories. It leapt, as does Las Vegas out of a basin. It leapt, yes, as does Las Vegas out of a basin in the Mojave Desert at nightfall, or Denver glazed suddenly against the Rockies from an aircraft cabin, and like those centres, Tikirak upstretching on exchange of metals. And scraping the slack jello of overt appearances, the grinding canines, ice and granite, back, molars churning, giant blue-green glacial jawbones masticate and thunder to leave detritus of Arctic trash town on post-glaciation Adriatic, lead town, gelt town of copper west of the Rockies, nitrite, ashlag and asbestos ghost town, megaliths of spirit ice, platonic mica, gneiss disheveled, granite's incandescent sinew streaking ruined edges, luminous diagonals, alive striations, burning fibulae and tendons, light sludge, silk, silt of darkness, interosseous agglutinations, severed from the cartilage and fascia, phosphorescent, burning in the ray's dissection, the final earth form scoured from glaciated carnage, chaos junketed in shafts of curfew, hamstrung in repeated jumble of the two dimensions. And the city in the flat plate of the pastoral is the blueprint, wandering platonic, of Manhattan, Dresden, Coventry, Southampton, Mestre, West Berlin, contemporary London, Bel Paese, unified already. There it is by Jack, raising its vast sunless concrete ectoplasm in the brownout. The cold prefabricated stanchions of the future, rearing their anticipated sheet-like femurs, flesh stripped in the ice mask. And the dancing pageants of Detroit and Harlem, like government bomb druid menhirs, tango through the twilight asphodel in an auroral Hadean substorm, with only an attenuated flange, a bee sting of the éclaircissement among the cloud scrapings. The whole sky rubble like some disastrously planned BIA ruined Eskimo village of the late 1990s, reflected upside down in polished sea ice catastrophe or televised ultraviolet microwave art vision. These are the things when the past is so violent. There is a kind of peace about looking into it, like a truce between the souls of materialists who have suddenly transcended the infrastructure, so they imagined it, of their Aegon. Thus we see dawn rising on disasters that are ahead of us, perking like an orange and brown Fanta and coffee solution into the inverted corneal umbrella hood of its solitary, gazing, Ruskin-esque spectator who is annotating changes in the cloud formations, aware, rueful, of those spectres that are to have arisen in the furore of the future pluperfect, inherent as they must be in the burning molecules of its fetus. The storm is in the looking, and from the looking floods out knowing innocence.